Startle us, O God, with your truth, and open our hearts and our minds to your wondrous love. Speak your word to us, silence in us any voice but your own, and be with us now as we turn our attention, our hearts, and our minds to you. In Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading for this evening comes to us from the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter, beginning in the first verse. It's exactly the reading that you came here this evening to hear. Luke writes, "In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, you made it. It's Christmas Eve. The shopping is done. Christmas dinner is planned. You made it to church, and Santa comes tonight. There's a way for many people, and I am certainly among them, that Christmas Eve can feel a little bit like the finish line. It's especially true for the huge number of people who find the week before Christmas to be extraordinarily busy. Like I know that things in our house are always busy around Christmas time as we get things ready. We're baking cookies and we're wrapping final presents and we're talking about how excited we are and what Santa might bring. We take very seriously in our house the work of getting ready for Santa, the plate of cookies, that we have a special plate that we only use for Santa Claus. And the cookies go on the plate and the milk has to be set out just right. We have special places for all of the stockings. We've even been known to sprinkle reindeer food outside the house to make sure that Santa can find us. Just like for many of you all, the week of Christmas and Christmas Eve especially is a busy time in our house. And of course, this time of year, things get busy at the church as well. Getting ready for three very different Christmas Eve services and finishing up all of the year-end church stuff and preparing for a Christmas Day, Christmas morning service, as well as all the regular church stuff, pastoral care and hospital visits and drop-ins and emergencies. It's a busy place here at the church as well. And I want to share something with you all if you'll permit me, but you have to promise that it's just between us. You have to promise that you're not going to tell anybody else. Something weird has been going on with me in this busy week. In the midst of what should be just wall-to-wall busyness at home and here at the church with shopping and wrapping and baking and sermon writing, you know what I couldn't stop thinking about this week? I mean, I couldn't stop thinking about it from the beginning of the week to the end. All week long, I've been thinking about the fact that my minivan really needs tires. I thought about it all week long, and I'm not a person who's usually prone to that kind of distraction, but every day in meetings and visits and while preparing for worship, I would keep thinking, man, the tires on that van are a mess. I've got to get new ones. It got to the point where it was ridiculous and embarrassing, and I finally got to the point where I had to ask myself, what does it say about me as a pastor? What does it say about me as a Christian that in this holiest of seasons, I can't pry my mind away from the most mundane of tasks? Because buying tires is just about the most ordinary and boring purchase that I can possibly think of. But then I guess when it comes right down to it, a huge percentage of what we do falls into the category of ordinary. How much of our time is spent doing things like buying tires, taking the car to the mechanic, picking up milk at the store, driving the same route to work every day, doing the dishes? If you were at all like me, then you spend a great deal of your life doing things that are 100% ordinary. And of course, to say that our lives are ordinary is not the same as saying that our lives are boring. Judging from conversations that I've had with many of you all over these past couple of weeks, and judging from many hundreds of Facebook updates and messages from friends, it seems to me like during this Christmas season, people are far more likely to be busy than bored. And what we're busy with this time of year tends to be Christmassy kinds of stuff. And we talk about it all the time. We won't stop talking about all of our Christmas preparations, getting ready to welcome travelers and packing to get ready to travel to see family and wrapping presents and cleaning. All of it is ordinary, regular, everyday stuff. And it's possible that maybe you are more spiritual than I am. Maybe you haven't gotten caught up in all of the mundane things as I have, thinking about things like traction ratings and tread wear. But there's a good chance that you've spent a good deal of your time lately doing the same sort of ordinary things that you always do. We're creatures of routine. These are the things that we do. We have things to do and we mind our business. We get things taken care of. And one of the beautiful things about the Christmas story, the one that we just read from the Gospel of Luke, is that it reminds us that we are not the first people to be preoccupied with the mundane. We are not the first people to mind our business. Our familiar story for this evening begins with a description of some really, really ordinary stuff. There's a census. So there's a law that's passed that everybody has to be registered, and so a whole lot of people are obeying the law. And Joseph, who we usually associate with angels and stables under bright shining stars, Joseph does the first century equivalent of going to the DMV or going to buy tires, and he minds his business and he does what he's required by law to do, and he travels to Bethlehem with his family to obey the law. Just like today, just like filling out our census forms and paying our taxes is something that's inconvenient but necessary for us, traveling to his hometown for the census was inconvenient and necessary for Joseph. The Christmas story begins with Joseph being just an ordinary guy taking care of his business. For Joseph, it was just another day, and probably for Mary, too. Mary was advancing in her pregnancy. I imagine she was finding ways to deal with her discomfort like every pregnant woman does. It's the business of being pregnant. The journey to Bethlehem could not have been an easy journey for her, but she found a way to manage because that's what she had to do. There was back pain and fatigue. There may have been nausea and fever, but those things come with exertion during the third trimester. For Mary, it was just another day. Probably it was just another day for the innkeeper, too. Luke's story reveals that it must have been a very busy day for the keeper of the inn, because his inn was full, probably because of the census. And so I imagine that he was very busy working hard and cleaning and preparing meals, the same things that he did every day, ordinary everyday things, minding his business. Because there was no vacancy, he had to turn some people away, including a man and his pregnant fiance. But it wasn't the first time that this innkeeper had been the bearer of bad news, and it wouldn't be the last. He was a businessman, and he was minding his business. For Joseph, and for Mary, and for the innkeeper, and for the shepherds in the fields who were doing the same thing that they did every night, keeping watch over their sheep, and for all of the people of Bethlehem, this was just another day, full of ordinary work and mundane tasks with nothing too terribly special. People were all minding their business, doing the things that they always, always did. And that ordinariness is part of the story. It's an important part of the story. And especially tonight, especially on Christmas Eve, it's tempting for us to skip over that part. Because the part that we want to hear tonight is the part about the angel's message and the great multitude of the heavenly host. And since we really like getting swept up in the miraculous part, we also imagine some other miracles in this story. Like we tend to imagine a miraculously sterile barn and a miraculously effortless labor and delivery. We display nativities that have this beautiful, fresh-looking Mary smiling and kneeling over the clean and tearless baby. We try to glide by all the common parts of the story, the common ordinary parts, skipping right to the holy and amazing parts. That's how we like to skip through this story, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't skip ahead to the holy part. Because what makes the holy part holy is that it happens right in the midst of what is ordinary. I mean, the fact that God is holy isn't exactly news. It wasn't news then, and it isn't news now. And the story of Christmas isn't the story of how people are suddenly and miraculously swept up and transported into a heavenly realm that is shining with glory. The story of Christmas is the opposite. The story of Christmas is that God left the heavens and came to the ordinary, everyday, dirty, mundane business of earth. The great news of Christmas isn't that God is holy. We know that God was always holy. The amazing part about Christmas is that that holy God came bursting into the world in the untamable, bloody, beautiful business of childbirth. Right there in the middle of town, right in the middle of an ordinary day, right when everyone was minding their business, God showed up in the least glamorous and most unlikely of ways. And the people of Bethlehem didn't do anything to get ready for that first Christmas. In fact, it's not at all clear that the people of Bethlehem even knew what was going on in their midst. Can you even imagine that? Being so wrapped up in the ordinary bustle of life and missing the life-altering reality that God has come into our midst. Can you even imagine being so preoccupied as to miss something that big? I can. I can imagine it. I do it. I know that I do. I get busy with shopping and with decorations and with Santa Claus, and I get bogged down with meetings and with planning and with writing and with paperwork. And there are times God help me, there are times that I completely lose sight of the fact that God's own son is being born. I don't know how I let that happen, but I do. I don't know how Christmas movies and Michelin tires can distract me from the fulfillment of the ancient promise, but somehow they can. And as your pastor, I'm frankly a little disappointed and dismayed that I spend so much time thinking about mundane things rather than about the fact that the Prince of Peace is born anew into our midst this very night. That's why I need the ordinary part of this story. That's why I need Joseph to be, forgive me, a regular Joe. I need Mary to be a regular mom. I need her to experience the pains and challenges of pregnancy. I need a harried innkeeper and frightened shepherds and clueless townspeople, because that's what reminds me that the day of Jesus' birth was just another day, and that if God can show up in an ordinary, out-of-the-way city like Bethlehem, well, then God can show up anywhere. And if God can show up anywhere, then my very ordinary life of running errands and doing dishes is exactly the kind of place that Jesus appears. And that's the other part of our story. Jesus does appear. Yes, my life is ordinary, and there's a very good chance that yours is too. But in your life and in mine, God is present. And if we can look up from minding our daily business for long enough, then we will see that unto us is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christmas is a busy time. And while lots of the work of getting ready for Christmas is behind us, we all know that there is still lots of busyness to come. It's not too late for any of us to get preoccupied and lost in the ordinary. And so, friends, as you gather with your family or open presents, as you cook Christmas dinner or travel to see your family, keep your eyes open for a glimpse of the King of Kings. He has come, he is born, and he has a knack for hiding right in plain sight, for being there right amidst the ordinary, and thanks be to God for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.